Ooh, Freakonomics.
So, in the news, huge stories often begin with just a single spark, right? Stampede journalism. You heard of this, right? Well, when a young man attempted to detonate explosives on a Detroit-bound flight on Christmas Day, the news media stampeded, air travelers stampeded. The question of fear of flying is raised in almost everybody's mind. The question is it realistic? Which is a job for, of course,
Super Freakonomics.
Which is why Stephen Dubner, co-author of Super Freakonomics, Global Cooling, Patriotic Prostitutes, and Why Suicide Bombers Should Buy Life Insurance, is here in the studio. You also are the author of the Freakonomics blog on thenewyorktimes.com. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
You know, this is a bit of a reminder. We're not going to break any new ground here necessarily, but once again, a single simple event, a terrorism event, a failed terrorism attack, produces enormous consequences in the economy and in the sort of psyches of Americans and other air travelers. Is it realistic?
Well, it's kind of a two-parter, because is it realistic? Well, terrorism is real, and it claims real victims, and they're tragic. The problem is it depends how you want to assess these things from a cost perspective,
let's
right?
Let's calculate. Let's do some calculations.
Right. So if you're a politician, or if you're the loved one of someone who dies in a terrorist attack, then terrorism can be number one priority, and it's hard to blame. Now, the politician's feeling and the victim's family's feelings are obviously very different, but one is driven by the other. It does make me think, however, this recent attack, whether it was successful or not, fortunately, thank God it was unsuccessful, but whether it was successful or not, does make me think back to 2001, right before September 11th. What happened right before September 11 was known as the Summer of the Shark.
That's right.
Right?
It was Gary Condit and shark attacks.
Yeah, Gary Condit and shark attacks, and it was the cover of Time magazine. It was all over. Now, if you look back at the data from that year and from years before and after, you'd expect to see this huge spike. You'd expect to see a shark-like fin rising up from the data, right?
Based on the amount of attention that was being devoted to this.
The coverage, the hysteria, the number of people who weren't going anywhere near the beach and so on. Turns out that year in 2001, worldwide, there were four fatal shark attacks, which was about the same as there were the 10 years previous and there were the 8 or 10 years after that. It turns out more people are probably killed every year getting run over by TV news vans who go to cover the shark attacks, okay? So it's very easy to generate. Now, does that mean that if you're the loved one of someone who was killed that you feel it's inconsequential? Absolutely not. Terrorism is different because it exacts societal costs, as we're now seeing.
All right, how do you do the shark attack calculation for, say, the shoe bomber or for some other famous terrorism attack that we know about?
Well, that's a point we make, that terrorism, one of the things that makes it so hard, so difficult, and so time-consuming is that it's very efficient. If you think about it like a physicist, terrorism has huge leverage. It exerts a great cost even when it fails. When it succeeds, yes, but even when it fails. So if you think about Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, who, again, was unsuccessful. Let's look at the cost. Let's say it takes an average of 1 minute to remove and replace your shoes in the airport security line.
We should note that because of Richard Reed, everybody had to take their shoes off in the security line.
Right. We all used to joke, thank goodness he didn't put in his underpants, so we'd be stripping down. So now that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, I didn't joke, but maybe you did. Anyway.
I'm guessing you actually did more than I. But anyway,
possibly,
that's a personality conflict. We won't get into that. But in the United States alone, the procedure of taking off shoes and putting them back on, let's say it happens about 560 million times a year.
A lot of shoes.
Wow.
So that time, 560 million minutes, is about 1,065 years, which divided by 77.8 years, which is the average U.S. life expectancy at birth today, that's a total of nearly 14 person lives. So even though Richard Reed failed to kill a single person, he did levy a tax that is the time equivalent of 14 person lives per year. That's one way to look at it.
Not to mention the fact that I actually bought 3 pairs of shoes, different styles that slip on and off.
Well, that
because
is
because of that. Oh, that's interesting.
That is often undiscussed. There are people who benefit every time something like this happens. You know, every time you have to throw away your Bic lighter now, well, Bic gets to sell another one on the other side. But I'm also thinking that some people are buying a little bit nicer underwear this time
around. All right, but okay, but this statistic will impress your friends at parties, like all the Super Freakonomics stuff is. But in terms of concrete policy, should there have been a different approach to the shoe bomber than taking off the shoes? Should profiling be what we are focusing on rather than just a blanket removal of all shoes?
I think like any big problem, the short answer is that if it were an easy problem, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it. The short answer is it is a really hard problem. When someone wants to do harm, and we live in an open society, they can do harm. That's the short answer, and that's the depressing answer. The harder answer is what do you do and how do you spend your resources wisely? I think like a lot of really difficult problems, the answer isn't any one thing. I think the point is that when you're fighting crime, when you're fighting poverty, it's going to be a portfolio thing. So we do write about the fact that, yeah, there are a lot of ways you try to stop. If you try to stop terrorism by, however, looking at money transfers, forget it. If you look at the amount of money that the September 11th bombers attackers used in comparison compared to the amount of money that's slushing through international banks every day. Forget it.
If you're it's like $10,000 versus $20 trillion
daily.
So when President Barack Obama stands up and says we're going to analyze this data better, we're going to do our intelligence better, we're going to solve this problem, you say?
Well, we say yes. We said that.
But is it doable? Is it a super freakonomics calculation that actually is reasonable?
We write about a process in Britain where we worked in concert with a British banker to screen millions of customers from this bank to find markers that identify a potential terrorist. And we feel we've been successful, and that list of potential bad guys has been handed off to MI5.
But if I'm a terrorist and I read your book, can't I just do the opposite of everything you say identifies me as a terrorist?
You might like to think so, and I can tell you that we're a little bit smarter than that. So the short answer is no. The short answer is no.
Let's talk to El Al. Former security guy at El Al, the Israeli National Airline.
And that works. And
he says profile absolutely everybody.
You think
that's realistic? You've flown El Al?
Yeah, I have flown El Al, and it works for a variety of reasons. And I think one big misconception is that it's much more resource and time intensive. It's not, in part because they start the questioning at the ticket counter rather than at the security line. It doesn't create that kind of bottleneck. I like a lot of people, like a lot of bright people like Bruce Schneier, I think you've had on the show.
Yeah, sure.
You know, security theater is theatrical. It's not necessarily very effective.
So the Christmas Day bombing happens, you're lying in bed, you roll over, somebody tells you, you say, nah, honey, it's no big deal. It's just super freakonomics. Come on.
Well, no, I don't say that. I think there are costs to pay in society, and we need to try to spend resources more smartly than we do, and it's a tragedy that it almost happened.
Yeah, that's why we ask you to come into the studio and help us with all this. Stephen Dubner, co-author of Super Freakonomics, Global Cooling, Patriotic Prostitutes, and Why Suicide Bombers Should Buy Life Insurance. Coming up, we're going to actually continue this discussion. It's Tech Thursday. What is the scientific and technical difficulty in mining databases to prevent terror?
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.